All right, and you're listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. I am Fran Storch, and this is Radio Naturopath. And for the next hour, we'll have some great information for you. We're really happy to be here with you this morning. So we have a few things to talk about, just to let you know. This is a call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, and my co-host, Ron Meniza, is off on business, so I'm flying solo today. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. That's radionaturopath@gmail.com. So, nice stuff this morning. In a little bit, we're going to have a wonderful guest, Eagle Moon Rays, and she's going to be talking about hypnotherapy. It should be a really great show, a lot of good information. So, it's interesting because one of the things that naturopathic medicine does, in my estimation, is we are very open to lots of different kinds of medicine. We're open to things that some people don't think of as medicine. There are certain people who have an issue with different kinds of energy medicine, and hypnotherapy kind of falls into that. Kind of doesn't, because it is sort of a psychological therapy, and it is about the power of suggestion. And then there are other elements of natural medicine that sort of fall into that energy medicine category. And I do not want to be an apologist for that, because my stance is that any form of medicine that works for you is useful. It doesn't matter what it is. If you have to dance with a purple chicken to feel better, that was my purple chicken joke. I've been making that purple chicken joke for years. And I had a student back in Newfoundland, Kathleen Mercier, who I made the purple chicken joke to. And I don't think she ever forgot it. So I may hit her up on Facebook and talk to her about that. But in any case, whatever you need to do to help you with your healing, I think is useful, as long as you get into a place where you're accessing your own ability to heal yourself. So let's unpack that idea of energy medicine for a minute. Now, there are people who say, well, you should just believe it, because if I do energy medicine to you, it works. And also, there's spiritual energy everywhere. But I think that it's possible to have the idea of energy medicine and pure science hand in hand with each other. I was watching Young Sheldon the other day, and Young Sheldon was having issues with the existence of God, and he was studying about whether he ought to believe in God, because, you know, even at a very young age, the character Sheldon on that sitcom was very interested in science, and he had a very strong belief in science, and his idea about science felt inimical to the existence of God, which I thought was very interesting. And so they had Sheldon very cleverly get on the pulpit with the priest or the minister and talk about whether God existed. And the minister pointed out that a couple of scientists, Albert Einstein, Pascal, and Darwin, all believed in God. And they ultimately made a joke that Darwin was wrong about God but right about science, or vice versa, was right about God and wrong about science. But what was very interesting was that Sheldon went on to study about whether God really exists, and he came upon the idea of Pascal. Pascal said that you might as well believe in God. Why? Because if God exists, you're all set. And if God doesn't exist, it's not going to hurt you just because you believed in God. So either way, it's a good idea to believe. So I found that fascinating. Where I am with God, I have an interesting relationship with God. I had a very sad experience of losing my father and then losing my office manager within less than a year of each other. So that makes me have issues with God and want to have deep, probing conversations with him, her, it. And in any case, I'm sure that whoever or whatever God is, if God is really so pure and perfect and wonderful, God is cool with me having questions. And that's the feedback that I've gotten. So anyway, with that, Eagle Moon is here, in fact. And so I will bring her up. Let me tell you a little bit about Eagle Moon. She has been a catalyst of change for the past 25 years. She was one of the first Reiki teachers in the area, training many in the art of healing. She's a licensed avatar master and wizard with a strong passion for world peace and the evolving consciousness of humanity. She's a certified consulting hypnotist with Mind Matters Hypnosis Center in Avon, Glastonbury, and Guildford, where she enjoys helping people of all ages achieve positive life change. In 2006, she began making Uniquely Yours customized audio programs designed initially for kids. Eagle Moon is excited to share that the first Uniquely Yours CD was made for A.J. Pollock Center, fielder of the Arizona Diamondback, when he was a freshman in college. How cool is that? So welcome, Eagle Moon.
Thank you, Fran.
It's so great to see you.
Yeah, it's nice being on this side of the board.
I know, because you can relax.
Yeah, it's great.
It's nice. So I'll just engineer and you can talk away and just relax and edify us about all the cool stuff you have going on. So we can get you started. I'm sure you'll take off and running, but I'll get you started. How did your journey begin? What was your first step 25 years ago?
Oh, well, I got pregnant and I stopped drinking. That was the first step.
You drank?
I used to drink like,
I didn't know
any other 20-year-old.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you drink, and you aren't really fully grounded in reality. And, I partied and I wasn't fully aware of who I was. And then I got pregnant and I stopped drinking and I started to become aware of what was around me. So I birthed that one baby. And one of the things I really want to make clear is that when you have a child, your life is going to change on so many levels. You can't even imagine. And it's a wake-up call for many people. People start looking at the meaning of life. And, you know, some people say, like you were talking about God, that when you birth a baby, you're in between life and death. And because you're bridging that circle of life. You know, you're getting ready to have a baby, you're carrying a baby, and then the other side of that is death, you know, and which is just another form of rebirthing. And so what happened to me is I started to wake up, and I started to wake up to a bigger picture, which is really the picture I had when I was young. It just wasn't a normal picture. That picture was, you know, that life was magical and that there was a divine and there was spiritual energy and there were angels and there were a lot of really cool things happening. And I was really clear with who I am and who I knew me to be when I was young is who I then knew me to be once I was pregnant and I stopped drinking. And, you know, so it was almost like drinking was my way of being normal. To fit in to the family, to, you know, be in the world, be a normal 20-year-old and a normal teenager. And, back when I was young, the drinking age was 18. So I could actually buy alcohol at 14.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I drank. I was drinking since I was 14 years old. And so, and it was normal in my family.
Did you drink a lot?
Well, as a teenager, partying like everybody else, but doing stupid things, you know, drinking and driving wasn't a no-no back then. I'm sure on some level it was, but it wasn't taught to us that it was a no-no. I was kind of a teenager that was partying.
Uh-huh.
And then I was a 20-year-old who was partying. And then I got pregnant and I started to wake up to the bigger picture of life. And I just want to remind people that, you know, adults who have children, listen to your children because they're going to direct you. They're going to tell you exactly who they are. Then there comes a time where kids try so hard to fit in and they're learning the conditions. You know, we all want love. Kids learn what is acceptable, what's unacceptable, what are the conditions for me to get love. And I believe that we're all here on this planet learning about love. You know, what is it? What are our conditions? How do we take the conditions off? What is unconditional love? Is there really an unconditional love? Is it possible to love unconditionally? And many of us are in fear. How do you balance fear and love? If you're afraid, are you in love? There's lots of questions. And so that's what started to happen to me after I stopped drinking. I started to really explore those ideas. And mostly, I wanted a better world for my children. And in order to have a better world for my children, I needed to be better as a mom, as a woman, as a human being. When I was drinking, I wasn't a very nice human being. And, you know, I was angry and I was impatient and I was just not kind. And so I wanted, number one, to be a better human being, a better mom for my children, a better, just a better person. And so that started everything. And I got this magazine in my house that normally, because I had two small kids, 15 months apart, so it was very busy, I normally would have thrown that away. That magazine is called the Avatar Journal. And something compelled me to open it. And I opened it. And I was like, wow, there's happy people in this magazine. It was so foreign to me to see happy people in the magazine. Not just one happy person, but the entire magazine was full of happy people. So that intrigued me. And then I read an article about a woman who resolved all her anger issues with her mother in a week.
Wow.
And I was like, wait a minute, is that possible?
Yeah.
So I got intrigued. And then very weirdly, 25 years ago, Avatar wasn't a movie. Avatar wasn't really well known. But I was actually seeing the sign Avatar going down Route 66 from Hebron to Middletown. And then I discovered there was a band called Avatar. So just about every day I would see this. They were advertising their band. And I was like, man, there's that word again. But the really bizarre thing was I was on a boat with all my major stresses, my parents, my husband, my two small children, surrounded by water. And I was ready to jump overboard. I was really overwhelmed with life. And this yacht sailed by us with the name Avatar on its stern. And I was like, no way. And a week later, I was in the training because,
wow,
you know, you create a yacht. It's a no-brainer.
What year was that?
It was 25 years ago. So it was 94.
So
95?
You did Avatar training. I didn't realize you had done Avatar training before I met you.
Yeah.
You had already started Avatar, but you were already into it by the time I got to Connecticut.
Yeah, it was my first step.
Okay.
So, well, first step was stop drinking, have a baby, get connected there. And then I did the Avatar course. And then after that, I learned what Reiki was. And there was another Avatar master I met, and she was from Slovenia. She didn't have plans for Christmas, so I invited her to come spend Christmas with us. So she came up for Christmas. She spent 3 months with us, and she did Reiki, and she did Reiki on my kids all winter long, and nobody got sick. And then I got interested in Reiki, and I studied Reiki, and then I became a Reiki master and started to teach.
What's Reiki?
Reiki is a hands-on healing technique that works on your energy system. It's a spiritually guided healing system, so it doesn't require a lot of intellectual study like massage therapy does, or acupressure or acupuncture. Reiki, because it's spiritually guided, it knows exactly where to go. It knows exactly what needs to happen for the client to become balanced and healed. And so it's very simple, and it's a very deep spiritual healing process. And it works on the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. So wherever the imbalance is, and it's working on your energy system, so you could have a block anywhere in your body, and the Reiki energy unblocks it. And Rei, R-E-I, is spiritually guided, and Ki is like chi, prana, is universal energy. So it's using the universal life force energy that's in everything.
That Reiki is a Japanese word?
Reiki is a Japanese word, yeah. Yep.
That's neat. So so you have a practice where you incorporate avatar, and I remember when I met you, you were also doing Melchizedek training.
Right, which is another cool modality.
Yeah.
And that's a holographic healing technique. And it's based on the understanding if as above, so below. So you can, like we have microscopes where you can zoom in on a cell, but yet we have these incredible satellites too, where you can look at the Earth from out in space. Well, the Melchizedek method of healing operates the same way. You can look at as small as a cell with the understanding that if one cell in the body is out of balance, it throws everything off. And you can zoom out and look at the body cosmically and how it's, kind of placed on the big body of God, so to speak, and how to balance it in the cosmos. So there's, from the point of view of holographic healing, is our imbalances that create stress, struggle, and suffering can occur on multiple levels. And what you want to do is you want to discover what level the source of the discomfort is in, and then rebalance it. And when you rebalance it, it rebalances it on all levels.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago I had a couple people come in who they didn't feel good because they hurt and they were really tired, but they were also really concerned about what's going on in the world, and it was breaking their heart. And that was going on both at the same time. It's just really, as you're saying this, I'm going, wow. I actually had someone come in who had things going on. I could see the microcosm, and I could see that their pain was on a global universal level at the same time. And boy, oh boy, you just blew my mind. because you could apply that idea to anyone. Where are they? Like, they're coming in because, you know, they have diarrhea for 3 months. But on a cosmic level, They're very concerned because they're in the mash of capitalist society. They're trying to have a job. They're trying to balance work life. And the world is having issues because of environmental things. Food isn't as available in a healthful way as it could be to these people. There's so many levels you could look at it. Wow.
Right. But there's always a source. And so when you go to the source of the disease, everything then rebalances.
Yes.
And that's another message I want to convey to people, is that many of us are operating from the viewpoint that the body is complicated, that it is really complicated. But if you look at it from you can look at the body from lots of different points of view, just like a disease can be in the cosmic field, or it can be in the physical on a cellular level. So if you see your body as solid and you're viewing it like you are just a body, you're going to be operating from the viewpoint that my health depends on the medical community to heal me, to cure me on some level. If you are looking at your body from a bigger point of view, like I like to see it as, a hand in a glove. And there is no right or wrong, because we're all exploring health and energy from lots of different points of view. And that's what makes life so exciting, is your point of view is different or maybe different than mine, but we can all learn from each other's point of view and evolve and in our exploration. And if we are, and many of us are changing our perception of who we are in time and space. And there's lots of great teachers out there helping us along the way. There's Esther Hicks, or Abraham Hicks, the Law of Attraction. There's the Avatar Training. There's Reiki Training. There's so many incredible modalities. And when somebody is experiencing disease in their body, meaning they have suffering in some level, there are so many different ways to restore health and well-being to the human being.
Yeah, and not just at the physical level, right?
Right.
But so many different levels. And your entry point can be at various different places. And I just wonder if, I know you're saying that you find the source of a person's disease, but even if you have a particular source, if you have different kinds of modalities, whether you're entering it from it nutritionally or you're looking at it from the perspective of Avatar or traditional Chinese medicine or Reiki, that there are different access points and there are different languages and different ways of talking about what's going on. Whereas, you know, in Chinese medicine, you might say that a person has stagnant liver qi. And in Western medicine, you might say that person has fatty liver. Nutritionally, you might be saying that that person is eating too much sugar. And spiritually, you might say that that person is very sad and they're not having enough joy and sweetness in their lives. So there's so many different ways of looking. There's a lot of different entry points and you can get help from a lot of different directions.
Right. But there's a part of each one of us that intuitively knows who is speaking our language for health and well-being.
That's a good point. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like I'm with a patient and I can kind of see the core issue. And the patient isn't always ready to go there. So you kind of have to present it to them in a respectful way and say, this is what I see, and hope that they go. Because you see the core issue and they're speaking globally and they're sort of talking around it. And yet, a lot of times there's an elephant in the room. There's something that's hard for them to accept. That they don't want to look at. One of the big things that I see with people is people are exhausted. People are exhausted, and they come in to say, "I'm tired." And when you say to me, "I'm tired," you know what the first thing I'm going to say to you is, "Get more rest." It's like the obvious. So that's the basic. I'm so tired. What should I do? And they want you know. Herbs, and they want energy medicine, and they want a diet, and they want me to give them a pill or something so they can go on with their lives exactly as they are. But when you're tired, you need to rest. And that's the basic thing. It's like I have to really start from there and go, all right, the thing you need is more rest. That's the elephant in the room. How can we get you to make friends with the elephant? Because maybe there's a lot of ways to get to the elephant, but you can't get away from that. If you have diabetes, you have to eat less starch and sugar because you have diabetes because your body can't handle starch and sugar. How can we get you there? So there might be a lot of different directions to get there, but I see what you're saying about there's a center to the disease.
Yeah.
And often it's like, I just did a face palm. It's one of those. A face plant? But no, face palm. Like, oh!
No, years ago when I was afraid of dying of cancer since I was 9 years old. Oh. When in this lifetime, I consciously became aware of cancer.
Yeah.
9 years old. I'm 55. So
Yay.
That was a long time. So what happened to me is I was obsessed with cancer. And there was part of me that just knew I was going to die of cancer.
Oh.
And I started saying at the beginning of the show that kids are really aware of who they are, where they're going, what's troubling them. My life has been about life It's about living, learning about living. It's been about learning about disease. It's about from the time I entered. And so when I was in my 30s, so I was 30 years old when I did the Avatar course. And I had two small children. And I was prepared to die. I was bleeding between my periods. I was sick for a year. We didn't have insurance. I was prepared to check out. I was preparing who's going to take care of my children. I was just giving up. I had cancer in my mind, and that was it. My life was over because I didn't want part two was this devaluing who I was, you know, not having enough value that, you know, there was a way to make my life better if need be. But I was just giving up because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was going to die of cancer. So in the Avatar course, in the third part of the Avatar course, there's an exercise for conditions like this, things that just feel like they're beyond you and that they have a really big pull. So my experience of this exercise was, so I was going to explore why I had this idea that I was going to die of cancer. So it was like I was going down this elevator shaft, and I saw all images of this lifetime, books I read as a kid about cancer, and teenagers dying of cancer, and sunshine on my shoulders, and da-da-da-da-da, all those things. Then I started seeing glimpses of myself in different life forms where I had cancer. I like was an African child with a big cancerous belly, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, it was like the elevator shaft, landed and the doors opened. And I was observing myself as a 7-year-old young girl in France. And my mother was in the back room of the tavern where I was working. And she had skin cancer and she was going to be dying of skin cancer. And I overheard two people in the tavern say, well, they all die from this. She's going to die too, meaning me. My father had died of cancer as well. And this was in the 1700s. So this was, you know, back in time where I carried this idea that I was going to die of cancer from the 1700s to present time. And as soon as I discovered the source of my idea that I was going to die of cancer, the whole thing, I discreated the whole thing. My physical body changed. The whatever it was. Now, let me say, I never went to an oncologist because I didn't have insurance. I was just, okay, I've got cancer. I'm dying. That's it. Life over was my attitude. But what happened was, I had gone to a naturopath and had a thorough examination, but I did not go to an oncologist. So I was not diagnosed with cancer, but in my heart and soul, I felt like I had it.
Did you know what kind?
It was uterine. I was dying. I was, you know, bleeding between periods. I had no idea what was my cycle, what wasn't. And
you were like 35?
I was 30. I was 29.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlikely you had uterine cancer. I hate to say.
Well, whatever it was, you know, there was a breakup.
Yeah.
You know, I was passing clots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so, but the thing is that I had this really clear idea of the truth of the fact that I was going to die of cancer.
Wow.
So I was manifesting this condition.
Yeah.
And then it changed. So that was an important thing for me to experience.
So your periods rate normalized and you didn't have metrorrhagia?
Everything normalized.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started to cop an attitude about the naturopath, but I...
Aww.
Unfairly. So I was copying this attitude, and then we were presenting together, and I knew I needed to change my attitude because I was not fair. I was not being fair. I had adopted the viewpoint of the oncologist, not the oncologist, the gynecologist I had gone to afterwards. And they had said something negative, and I adopted that viewpoint. And it wasn't fair. And so I had this attitude, and my higher self said to me as clear as day, you need to let go of this. You had cancer, you discreated cancer, and now you need to be grateful and move forward.
Wow.
And so I said, and it just put me right in my place. And then I was like, okay, I let go.
Well, if you're speaking miasm. So in homeopathy, we have this idea of the miasm, mm-hmm. which is that's sort of one of the things I love about natural medicine and in naturopathic medicine. It allows me to be non-judgmental, and it allows me to be open to many kinds of medicine. One of my teachers, Jared Zeff, really instilled in me that whatever works is the kind of medicine that you need, and you need to have respect for all kinds of medicine, whether you're going to engage in it or not, from Christian Science to homeopathy to MD medicine, to using chemotherapy, that everything has its place. And so what's really interesting is to see parallel evolution among different kinds of medicine. So one of the things that, you're talking about how you had this vision of your ancestry in the 1700s and this heredity, this energetic heredity of passing along this cancer, and that you knew you were going to get it too, because that was your genetic inheritance. And then you were able to go in and change your genome. So mm-hmm. this wasn't going to happen anymore. And it's your understanding that you had some cancer in your endometrium. That's what you're thinking.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So, and that you discreated it. It was very interesting. So in homeopathy, we talk about the miasm. We have a thing that describes this. It's the miasm. And a miasm is a deeply inherited tendency. It's so something, and then various homeopathic remedies will fall under so miasm is sort of an umbrella, and various remedies will fall under that miasm. So, for example, the psychotic miasm, not psychotic with a P, but psychotic with an S-Y. Those remedies tend to, they tend to get like gooey, thick discharges and overgrowth of tissue. And there's a variety of remedies that can fall under that. Homeopathic sulfur, homeopathic pulsatilla, homeopathic metarhinum, any of the things with sulfur attached to them tend to have gooey discharges like that. So the basic three miasms are psoriatic, psychotic, and syphilitic. And there are different miasms that fit under those. The psoriatic, the conditions tend to be more external, like psoriasis. And there's a number of remedies fall under that. So you're going to tend, if you're in a remedy that falls under the psoriatic miasm, you're going to tend to get more digestive stuff, and you're going to tend to get more skin stuff, and that's more external. Psychotic is sort of in the middle. It's centrally, discharges. They're deeper in the body, but they can still be expelled. And then syphilitic is at the very set of your structure. So they get bony degeneration, neurological degeneration, things that are really tough. And a lot of the metals, the homeopathic metals, fall under the syphilitic miasm, which is interesting because arsenic was one of the things they used to cure syphilis back in the day. So then you have miasms that are combinations, like the tubercular miasm is a combination of syphilitic and psychotic. And then you have the cancer miasm. The cancer miasm is a combination of all of them. And it's a miasm. So it's a deeply inherited tendency. And the understanding is if you fall under that miasm, you have this tendency. It doesn't mean you're going to get the condition. It just means that you fall under that miasm. And miasm does not, it's your heredity, but it isn't your destiny. And just like genetics are not your destiny, genetics are a blueprint for what could happen, but what you do and how you are in the world right now can affect how that can happen. And that was kind of what you did with your healing. You had an energetic healing where you dealt with your, in homeopathy, you would say you dealt with your cancer miasm. It's just really neat how this is sort of parallel evolution to something else. It's really cool how that happens. So, what are you most passionate about?
Oh, I am just so excited about keeping kids alive. You know, it's I just really am so passionate about, you know, and just keeping them who they are. You know, it's like when I was young, like I'm a diehard homeschooler. I love educational freedom. I love that people can homeschool their kids so that their kids learn what they're excited about. And we keep that passion alive. And I just really love to see kids growing up with the full force of their being. And there are more and more kids now that are really alive. And this is so, like when I was a kid in first grade, I was just so clear, you know, why do I have to go to school? It just made no sense to me. And I remember begging my dad to just let me stay home. That it just seemed like no plan for me. There was just nothing for me in school. And I remember...
You were the first indigo child.
Can you believe it? It's just like... And I remember, like, life made no sense to me when I was growing up. I didn't understand where my mother went to have a baby. Like, I was 4 years old when my brother was born. And I had enough understanding to say, wait a minute, where are the sisters? Where are the women? So instead of having the midwives and the sisters of the tribe helping my mom went to the hospital, which made no sense to me. And then I had ear infections all the time. And in my consciousness, I was like, well, where's my tea? Why am I eating this pill? It made no sense. And then I started to adopt to the way that I was being raised. I was, and it was so clear that the way I knew things to be, to my normal, and the normal of my family were just totally different. So then I adopted to normal of my family. I tried so hard to fit in that I just didn't fit in with me anymore. And you know, when you don't fit in with you anymore, it just is a weird life. It just, things just don't make sense. But I adopted. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a fish learning to climb a tree. It just makes no sense. So... I know I'm not the only child on the planet where life makes no sense. So those are the kids that gravitate toward me. And I see them everywhere. They'll stare me down. And I'd be like, ah, I see you. You know, so there's this common thread. They feel who I am. I feel who they are. And we have this moment. And that's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about the recognition of the heart and soul of children. I'm excited about that. And my contribution, like on the Avatar course, we have lots of children from all around the world now, and it's exciting. It's so exciting. We have kids as young as two. We have infants in the courseroom with their parents. We have babies in utero that are picking stuff up and in the course room. So there are families that are bringing children into the world who stay awake the entire time. They never go to sleep. When I say go to sleep, I'm talking about like what happened to me, where life just didn't make sense anymore. And I was adjusting to this nonsensical life so that I could fit into my family. That's kind of going to sleep.
Yeah.
You kind of go to sleep to who you really are.
Right.
The Avatar course is an awakening course.
Nice.
It wakes you up to who you are.
Yeah.
So there are children on the planet that are fully awake and alive and doing extraordinary things. And they're living from their own sourceness. You know, they're creating their life the way they want their life to be. And the families are creating alignment so that the whole family is kind of a a cohesive unit. So everybody's supported. And they're using the Avatar tools in order to create this life together where everybody's aligned and everybody's supported. It's similar to a school of fish. You know, one fish banks left and all the fish bank left. There's this intuitive feel that a family has when everybody is connected in this way. Like fish, no. You bank left, everybody goes. It's an energetic type thing.
Like a bicycle Peloton.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a connection and there's an intuition and there's a felt sense and you just kind of move with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I really love. But one of the things that I started to create in 2006 was, you know, I got certified as a hypnotist in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I made 4 CDs in a month. The CDs I made Your Masterpiece, Your Life. That's for teenagers. And then I thought, oh, if I'm making a CD for teenagers, I should make one for parents. So then I made a CD for parents. So that one's called Surrender to the Flow. And then I made one for self-love, because who can't use self-love? And then I made another one called Recreate Your Image, which is a weight release CD and rebuilding your body. And all of those CDs are available in the library. So if you are curious, you can just Google search me, Eagle Moon Rays, and the libraries have them. I made sure that they were available in the local libraries.
Okay. So you mean like your public library? You public go to the library. Mansfield Library and or Willington Library and they're there.
Yeah. Hebron has them. Andover has them.
Right.
Various libraries have them.
Nice.
So then what happened was, the technique that I used, each CD has a journey, which is like a hypnotic journey for healing and health and well-being. And then there's subliminal program that has Reiki energy underneath the music. It's got a message underneath the music, and it has imprint removals underneath the music.
Nice.
And it's a stock for the general public. So then A.J. Pollock was going away to school. He was going to Notre Dame. And his mom and I, his mom came to our Reiki share one day, and she needed to learn about Reiki because it was something that was useful and helpful for A.J. when he was a junior in high school because he had an injury and he needed help. So they used Reiki to help AJ. So what happened, we were talking one day and I said, well, why don't I make him his own CD? So I started to contemplate this because I was seeing kids plugged into their, at the time they had iPods. It was before iPhones. So I was like, wow, these are a lot of kids walking around. And we are in and out of hypnosis throughout the day. So I thought, huh, kids are struggling. They're in and out of hypnosis as they go throughout their day, and they're listening to music. Why don't I start creating programs for young people, taking their playlist, because they're listening to it anyway, and I would put a subliminal hypnosis program underneath their music, because they're in and out of hypnosis. So I presented it to the mom. She presented it to AJ. AJ's like, okay. So the day before he was going to Notre Dame, he came into the sound studio and I made him his CD. He was told, don't listen to the message, because under each CD, under the music, is a message from your higher self. That he wasn't to listen to the message. He had trust issues, and so he was learning about his own spiritual power, and he needed to experience the power of the CD without listening to what was actually under the music. So a year later, when he was listening to the message, everything in that message came true. And so he, you know, he was developing his faith. He was developing his own inner knowingness. And so the way the CD is created is I go to the sound studio with the person's playlist with the music they want, and then I align with them energetically through the art of Reiki, and then I bring in the Reiki energy they need in order to balance their mind, their body, and their spirit. And then there's about 40 imprint removals, which are we pick up as we go through life on this planet. We pick up ideas from the media, from the medical community, from school, from parents, from coaches, because we are open to suggestion as we go through life. We adopt and we pick up ideas. And so what the imprint removal process does is it's weeding those out. And essentially what the imprint removal track is saying is there isn't an idea, a thought, an emotion, a sensation, or a memory from the past, in the present, or ever to come from the in the future. So you're safeguarding yourself not only from outside influences, but yourself safeguarding yourself from your own negative self-chat. And that's what got me initially, was how much negative self-chat I was hearing teenagers say about themselves. And I was like, oh my God, they're programming themselves with their own negative viewpoint. So that's why I wanted to create something for young people, because I wanted to safeguard them and to help them change their attitude to a more positive one so that they can have more positive experiences. And especially with athletes, you know, it's like you can't have the idea that I'm going to miss this high fly and then expect to win the game, you know. But I was hearing young people do this all the time.
Wow. So you're okay. So you're in a place where you're actively having people come in and have these CDs made, doing these sessions and having and making these CDs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So so where do you do that now?
My sound studio that I go to is actually here in Mansfield.
Great.
So I do that, but I'm a certified consulting hypnotist with mind body hypnosis in Avon, and I'm in the Avon office and the Guilford office.
Very nice.
Which is a blast.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So can anybody have this done?
Have a hypnosis session or make a CD?
Yeah, the CD thing.
Both.
That sounds really cool.
Anybody. Any age.
Do you have to go to Avon or?
No, they could just call me and I would make the CD.
Do you make it with them there?
They can come, but it's not necessary. Usually
really?
I have a consult with them on the phone and then I go to the sound studio. Through Google Docs, it makes it really easy. They just, you know, download their music. I upload it. And I go to the sound studio with the music. And then because it's all subconscious work, I'm working with their subconscious mind.
Yeah.
And with the Reiki energy system, because of those two systems, I can align with the client. I don't need to, you know, have them in my physical proximity in order to get the product together. But if somebody wanted to come and sit with me, it's totally cool. It's not required that they come to the sound studio. When I made AJ's, he came to the sound studio because he waited till the last minute and he was leaving with the CD.
I see.
So, you know, and we've moved away because so many people don't make CDs. You know, they don't have the access to play a CD anymore.
Right.
So it's all digital.
Yeah.
So that makes it nice, too. We can do it all digitally.
All right. So you can record it into a computer and you have an MP3 file. And
exactly.
So you don't even have to have a CD.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, how neat is that? I want one.
Yeah. Let's make you one. It's a blast. It
and
is
I want
so
Ron
much
to
fun.
Have one.
Yes.
And Amber sitting out there, I think she should have one.
Everybody should have one.
Okay.
Because you're in and out of hypnosis all day long when
yeah.
you're on your bike.
Okay.
You know that zone feeling?
Yeah.
You're in a hypnotic state.
Yes. Well, there's different things that we have to do when we're on our bikes. I mean, sometimes we're in the zone, we're just chilling and we're just grooving and everything's wonderful. But sometimes you have to like
pay attention.
Well, of course you have to pay attention because you're in traffic. That's another thing that can happen. But another thing that can happen is like you may have to climb a hill or you may be in a race where you actually have to be focusing on the race and how to be in the race and how to be in the peloton and all that kind of stuff. So there's you know, I mean, you could say you're in the zone in and you can go into the zone in any of those states, but there's different kind of energy that you have to call up at different times.
Yeah, what hypnosis is that it means that you have a heightened awareness.
Yes, right.
So when you're, I would imagine that if you're racing and you have all those bikes zipping by you so fast, your awareness is heightened.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, sure.
And that's how you can move like a fish, like a school of fish.
Yes, in the Peloton.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Do you race?
I don't race, but Amber does. And I'm about to have her on.
Cool.
Why don't you talk about it? Why don't you tell us about how you get in touch with if we wanted to go see you in Avon or Guilford, how we get in touch with you?
Yeah, here's my phone number. It's 860-402-8116. Or you could email me at eaglemoon@mindmattershypnosis.com. That's how you can reach me. So the email again is eaglemoon, one word, @mindmattershypnosis. And I'd love to make you a CD, or I'd love to have a session with you at mindmattershypnosis.com. It would be awesome.
So I got really excited because we were talking about, look, we're wearing the same color. So, I got excited because I have Amber Pierce here now, and she's now here. I got her in early. She's going to be on Bicycle Talk, but we were talking about energy and being together and the Peloton. We just started talking about bicycle racing, and Eagle Moon suddenly asked me if I raced bicycles, and I said, not so much, but I said, Amber does, and she's sitting right here. So I thought I'd bring you in, and we could dovetail this a little bit.
Cool.
Right.
Hi, Amber.
Am I on?
Is this thing on?
Is this thing on? Hi, everyone.
It's Amber Pierce, and Amber Pierce is a professional bicycle racer, and she's our local treasure of Mansfield. And we were talking about how to be more one, basically with the universe. And what Eagle Moon does is Eagle Moon does hypnotherapy, and creating these wonderful CDs. And we were talking about how to be more at one with the universe. So if you could find a way to dovetail this, please do.
Well, it excites me because I love the group dynamic. I love the group energy. And we were talking about like how a school of fish moves. And so Fran was comparing it to being in a bike race.
And in a Peloton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I talk to athletes about this all the time, especially when they're new to riding in a group. That's one of the lines I use is follow the fishies, because there is you can just kind of pick up on the dynamic of the group and fall into it. And I talk about cycling like it's a moving meditation for me. I'm not great at sitting still, but if I get outside and I'm moving, then I can find that space much more easily. And that works for me. And I know that it's different for everybody, but if you struggle with sitting still, maybe try moving and you can find that space a little more easily. I think for some people,
right.
It works.
Right. And that's what we were explaining was I was explaining how people are in and out of a hypnotic state, a natural form of hypnosis, which means that your awareness is heightened. Your conscious mind is quieter and your awareness is heightened. And so that's how we got on to the discussion about cycling.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like peak performance state of
exactly,
the mind.
Right.
If I think back on all of my best performances, one of the things that stands out to me is it feels like I'm not thinking. It feels like I was able to shut my brain off and just be where I was. And that's a really hard thing for me to do in day-to-day life. But I think in sports, people use the term flow, and that can capture, I guess, you know, kind of part of that feeling. But it is definitely a sense of your brain isn't, you know, running away with you the way it normally does in
right.
day to day.
Right. And that's why people go to a hypnotist, because a hypnotist can guide you into that state, mm-hmm. although hypnosis is a natural state that people are in and out of. And they're not aware that they're in and out of this natural state of hypnosis. You know, like when they're riding, you know, driving their car, they may forget their exit or not realize that they drove 10 miles and they're, you know, they were just daydreaming. That's a natural state of hypnosis. And when you lose track of your time when you're on the computer or watching TV, that's why commercials are so effective. It's like they're talking to people that are open to suggestion.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I know, right? Yeah, so I've known Eagle Moon for many, many years. Eagle Moon was instrumental in getting me to practice in Mansfield. She's one of the reasons I'm here.
How cool.
Well, it's because she saw me. You know how you said you see those young kids?
Yeah.
And you saw them? You saw me.
You saw you.
You were like, I walked in and you're like, you knew. You knew that I needed to come here and I needed to have a practice here and that this area needed me. And you pushed me. You when I was hesitant, you did some like actual mechanical stuff to make it happen. So go talk to Donna. Did you talk to Donna? No, I didn't talk to Donna. All right, wait a minute. And you went away and you came back. Here's Donna. Talk to her. Right. I mean, but it was that I remember you looking at me. I can still see your face. Way back when in that remember Bonnie Tarantino
yeah.
had her yoga
mm-hmm.
studio up in Holiday Mall?
Yep.
And Mary Horan had put together that integrative health committee, and I was invited to the meeting, and you were there. And so was, like, Ilona was there, and so many other people were mm-hmm. there. I don't remember, but I remember.
Shoshana
was there,
yep.
And it was a lot of people. It was like 20-odd.
John Furlong and Dr. Shevin. And
they were there?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But I guess they must have been. Right. But you saw me and you're like, all right. And then we had that health fair at the hospital.
That's right.
And Donna was there.
That's right.
And that's where you brought her to me and said,
right, here's
Donna. Here's Donna. And Donna was instrumental in that. You know, it was like one person after the other got me. It's Mary Horan and Shoshana and yourself. And then Rita Kornblum. And at the time she had a partner, Carmel. And they were doing a spiritually oriented radio show here, and they brought me on, and so that was really cool. So I like to support Eagle Moon when she's in her various ventures, and now you're in this very exciting place where you're going to be available at Mind Matters Hypnosis Center. So that's so great that you got involved with them.
Oh, so awesome. They're the biggest hypnosis center in New England.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. And I'm seeing a lot of children. A lot of parents are bringing their kids to me. And
nice.
You know, I was trying on my own to work with kids, but it just, you know, I couldn't get through to the school system. I was having a really hard time. So I aligned with Lisa Zecchio, and, you know, and now I've got kids coming and, you know, 9, 11, 15.
So you just found another avenue.
Another avenue.
That worked for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And we're very well aligned, and it's just really great. We're reaching a lot of really, I don't want to say, we're reaching a lot of people who are open to change. And it's exciting because one of the things I also wanted to explore and develop more deeply was medical hypnosis. So I've been working with people with tinnitus and, you know, just like ED, which is erectile dysfunction, and a lot of weight loss.
Of course.
Bruxism. So one of the kids was grinding her teeth severely and like nail biting. I had this woman who was biting her nails and then she broke her teeth. So she gets implants and the implants are breaking. So her front teeth, and she just was like, that's it. I need to do something. So there's something faulty with her teeth, but She just is like, I'm done with this.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's like exploring the moon. Because when somebody invites you to explore their subconscious mind, it's a really cool thing. You know, you start putting the pieces together and, you know, you work as a team and then you can help.
But what this is really exciting, though, because you had a particular thing that you wanted to do and you tried some mainstream avenues to try to do it. And those doors kind of closed to you. So you made your own door.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yep.
That you stayed with it until you found the right door and the right place to do it.
Kids need it. They're ready. They need
they really
something
need
that
it.
Is not available right now.
That's amazing, Eagle Moon. All right. So I've been speaking with Eagle Moon Rays here on Radio Naturopath. Thank you so much for coming to the show. This was very exciting. So if you want to contact Eagle Moon Rays, your website is?
EagleMoonRays.com.
Okay. And if we want to contact, is that a good way to get hold of you to get to Mind Matters?
No. The best thing to do is go to MindMattersHypnosis.com. That
okay.
website has a huge amount of information. My personal website's under construction right now, so it's best to reach me through MindMattersHypnosis.com.
Okay.
So if you'd like to make your a customized subliminal audio program, that would be the way to reach me. So
okay.
It's eaglemoon@mindmattershypnosis.com is my email address.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Eagle Moon.
Thank you, Fran.
So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at www.whus.org. You can also go to my Facebook page or Twitter at FranStorchND, and also my website, which is also FranStorchND.com. All right, and we will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM. WHUS Stores.